Growing up, I was in a very atheist household. It was my mother, my brother, and I. They didn't go to church. They didn't follow any religion of any sort. When I was 19, I was coming out of a really awful relationship that had lasted the good majority of 3 years. It was really hard on me, mentally, emotionally, physically, just very dark and negative and toxic. I remember one day just being in the room alone, quiet and sad, and it felt like something was in the room with me, if you want to explain it that way. I just felt something caring for me. And I asked the question, is this God? Is this, you know, Jesus trying to get through to me? So I was left with a lot of questions.
I would say there were quite a few like curious people there, either people that had grown up in a Christian background or had known people. I wondered what it would look like just to host an alpha for my friends and particularly my coworkers. I was definitely pretty nervous just because obviously it's really easy to make a name for yourself at your workplace because you're there all the time, whether it's like, oh, you could be like the really fun one, or it's like very easily you could be like, oh, that Christian that always asks people to go to church. And I didn't want her to think that our friendship was just so I could invite her to church.
So Ashton and I were working a shift together. We were walking past each other and she stopped me from where I was going and just said it very directly, casually, I want you to come to an alpha. What day is gonna work for you? What day is consistent for you? And I was immediately drawn and ready to participate in it.
There's not really like a super easy way to do it. There's no, if you're ever waiting for like the right time, there's like, times that are better than others, but there's not like a time that it really like, this is the moment.
So I showed up at Alpha for the first time. It was very welcoming, very casual. Lots of people that I knew were there, all my age. So, you know, you walk in, people were hugging, people were saying hello, people were catching up, there was food there. So it just felt like you were going to hang out with your friends. A lot of people had questions just like I did. They were either atheist, Christian, nothing. Like, they just had the same questions as me. So I felt very comfortable knowing that I wasn't the only one who was exploring it.
Maybe halfway, maybe like three quarters, we were just talking and it was discussion time. She's like, yeah, well, like now that I'm Christian. And I was like, what? And I was like, and I was like, kind of like, look at other people that like I know, and I looked at them, they looked at me, and I was like...
Things just started to make sense for me. Things started clicking. My past, there were like certain connecting dots that I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then, yeah, I think I just told you one day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a huge big bang or like I saw the light or anything. It was just, I woke up, I'm like, this is who I am.
Yeah, I like firmly believe, like obviously it wasn't me that like brought you to Christ and like gave you this life. It was like I was just being like faithful. It's like God's call, and that looked like inviting you, and then he like did the rest, and he like obviously like does so much for your life. And
I think you just kind of helped me like see a little clearer, or like help me move a little bit closer.
God pulled through.
Well, I love stories like these, and there are many connected to the Alpha course and the different offerings they have for college students and youth and young adults and singles and marrieds. But it's this powerful picture that faith often begins with a question, or maybe a series of questions. And if you remember in this this clip, she said she felt a presence. She just kind of wondered what that was, if that was God. And in that moment, she asked the question. And it's this question that maybe if God existed and you could ask him a question, what would it be? She was kind of thinking through these pieces. And maybe you've had this experience. Maybe you've navigated this. Maybe you have some questions right now. But the questions that I hear quite a bit are questions around suffering, questions around purpose, maybe heaven itself. You know, what does it look like? Is there a hell? You know, will I go there? Those kind of things. Maybe it's something that's happened in your life and you're wondering why. Why did this happen to me? Or why didn't this happen to me? Why didn't I get the thing that I wanted? And underneath many of our questions, there's this deeper question. And that's what we're focusing on today. Does God hear me? Have you ever asked that question? God, do you hear me? Can you hear what I'm saying? Are you even there? And when we look at this question, it goes maybe a little deeper because sometimes when we're asking that question, we're also asking, does anyone really know me? Does anyone really hear me? Does it really matter what I think or what I say? What does it really matter what I do? And so today we're beginning this series as we're getting ready to launch our alpha called Good Questions. And so there are some good questions for us to ask. And the good news is, all the questions are good questions, right? That there aren't any bad questions when we're navigating faith, when we're asking about this this power, this presence that operates in our world. Sometimes we can feel it really strongly. Sometimes it feels distant from us. But we ask the questions, God, do you hear me? Are you here with me? And so we're starting today by looking in the book. He is the hymn book. Of the early church. And so these powerful words that people would gather and they would read through. Questions about faith, powerful things being proclaimed about who God is. Questions about why God doesn't do what they want them to do or praising God for the miraculous things. And so we're starting in Psalm 139. And I'm going to read the entirety of the psalm to you. And so I invite you just right where you are. To take this moment, you can close your eyes or you can sit quietly and listen to the words as David writes this. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on a far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this powerful word. This psalm that asks the questions of life, that points to you as creator, who knows us, who hears us, who guides us. And so God, as we reflect on these verses today, as we look at your word and we ask good questions, we pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would speak to us, that you would allow us to see more and more of what it is you're doing in this world and in our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And so we ask this question, God, do you hear me? And it really isn't a question about God hearing us. It's a question about God's heart. We ask the question because we wonder, does he care? Does God care for me? Does he care for my neighbor? Is he paying attention? Am I just another face in the crowd of humanity? That's sort of how we can feel in this world. And many people never think about God at all. If you remember some of the Alpha promos we've looked at, there are lots of people that don't even consider God in their everyday life. They don't think about him. In fact, they choose to ignore God in this world. They assume he's maybe distant, some people. Some people believe he exists, but they imagine him as detached, that God doesn't want anything to do with this world. He's sort of off in the distance and shows up every once in a while and creates trouble, but he's detached from my life. And then there's some of us who fear that if God really knew everything about us, he would want nothing to do with us. And Psalms 139, it presents this radically different picture, this wild picture. And if you've read through the Psalms, you know it is an honest depiction of questions for God, that when things aren't going well, people are like, God, where are you? What in the world? How are you letting these people that are against you win? But there's also a beautiful picture of affirming what God is doing, what God is promising, what God is going to show up and do for his people. And David says, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about you and about me. He knows all of our thoughts. He knows our words before we speak them. He knows everything, and the good news is he still loves us. Amen? That he knows us completely, and he pursues us relentlessly. That God knows me, and that he knows you. This is a powerful picture of a God who cares. The heart of God is he cares for you so much that he knows you deeply, that he knows me deeply, that he knows the desires of our heart. He knows the things we struggle with. He knows the gifts that we have within us even before we understand what they are or how to use them. And Tim Keller, I don't know if you follow Tim Keller. He's got some great books. Prodigal God is one that I love. He says this. He says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what we need most. I don't know about you, but in the world we live today, there's a lot of conversation around people wearing masks, right? That we pretend to be a certain people in certain groups, that we maybe hide a little bit of who we are, that in some circles I act one way, other circles I act another way, and then when I'm totally by myself or with people that I trust, I can kind of take that mask off a little bit. And there's lots of stories of people that have lived their entire life sort of hiding behind a mask, that no one knows who they are, that no one knows what it is they truly think and feel and believe, the things that they love, the ways in which they get good enrichment out of life, because we end up in this category that we don't want to be known and not loved, that we don't want people to show us who we are and then be not loved, that people would kind of say, I don't want any of that. That's a little too odd for me. That's not my kind of thing. And so we hide. And he says, the greatest thing is to be fully known and truly loved. He said, that's what we need most. And that's what this psalm is talking about, that a God that truly knows us, fully knows us, and truly loves us. David says, you've searched me and you know me. That he doesn't say, God, you know all the facts, right? You know all the details. You know my home address. You know my social security number, my phone number, my patterns at work. I don't know about you, but we have those, what are they called? The flock cameras that have been installed in our neighborhood here. And let me tell you, people do not want you to know the facts about where they drive and when they drive, right? We have this one intersection, and I'm going to go pull through it one Sunday, and it's going to be burst into flames. All the cameras are going to be on fire or something, right? But there are these facts about us, and he didn't say, you know all the facts. He says, God, you know me. you know me deeply. You know this human longing that's within me. And it isn't this longing to be successful or admired, although we all want to be successful. We all want to be admired. We want people to look up to us and appreciate us. But it's this idea of being known. That's what David is speaking to. And we spend our lives, many of us, managing impressions. Even in the video of the two girls talking through this story, you know, she talked about, you know, I don't want to get this reputation at work of being the Christian. Maybe you've been in circles like that. I joke all the time, right? All of a sudden, their stories change. You know, the punchlines are a little different, whatever. And so my sister, who I love deeply, always thought it was funny to introduce me as the pastor to people, because she's like, I'm gonna get ahead of this and make it weird for you the entire time, right? That's because my sister loves me and she wants to care for me that way. That's one way she kind of picks at me. But I don't want to tell people that, because then people are like, oh, I gotta sort of pull myself together. And so I encounter people and I try and encounter them in a way where I get to know them a little bit better. So they don't have to put this guard up, this mask, that they don't have to manage the impressions. And we know people as the edited version, right? That maybe we've met somebody in one scenario, and then we meet them out in the wild. I think this all the time. My mom was a teacher, and so if your mom is a teacher, she's a local celebrity in town, and so every time you go to the grocery store, someone sees her and flags her down, and they're like, "What are you doing here? Why aren't you at school? You know, why are you at the grocery store?" Like, you just sit there while the lights are off and wait for the kids to come back, right? You see them in a different setting, and you begin to edit that version and go, oh, wow, okay, maybe they do leave the school. Maybe they do have a different life. Or maybe we have this encounter with people where we see the highlight reel. I think social media has sort of created that, where we see the highlights of people's lives, the polished version, the edited version. We see the perfect pictures that are airbrushed and edited, all that kind of stuff, this highlight, this filtered version. But God sees beyond all those things. David says he sees me, he knows me in my inmost being. And he sees the questions we don't ask out loud. God knows what we're struggling with. God knows the fears that we don't share, the regrets and hopes that we carry with us. And yet David's response is remarkable, right? He's not terrified of a God who knows him. He's comforted. I remember graduating, doing my MBA. So I did this MBA program kind of during the COVID window. In the midst of that, we had our beautiful Ruby Kate. And so we had this baby. And I remember graduation kind of opened up. I went to FIT, which was right across the street from the church I served at. And it was graduation. I was like, I'm going, you know, I'm going to jump through all the hoops of all the things you had to do because of COVID. So I go to the graduation. There's hundreds of people there, and I'm waiting to kind of be called up, and Melissa's there with Ruby Kate. And I remember kind of getting up and sort of walking. I hear a baby cry. People taking photos and cheering, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I hear a baby cry. Maybe you've had this experience. And you go, hundreds of voices, noises everywhere. That one's mine, right? You had that experience? And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, like, do I go on this stage or do I go help Melissa, right? And I was like, I'm sure she'll be fine. Louis survived, Ruby Kate will be fine. But it was this idea that I heard this cry and I knew that was my child. I knew that was Ruby Kate, this immediate kind of reaction, because love pays attention. Because a parent knows the voice of their child. And so David is saying, God knows your voice because he knows you. He knows your thoughts because he knows you. He knows your deepest desires. He knows your wishes, your hopes, the things you struggle with, because love pays attention, that God knows you. He knows the things that matter in your life. David says, where can I go from your spirit? This idea that there's nowhere. He imagined every possible place, the heights, the depths, the darkness, the far side of the sea, and every time he arrives at the same conclusion, God is already there. And God knows him. There are many people in our world that kind of assume God's presence depends on their feelings. Like, God shows up when I feel good, Or God shows up when I've messed up. You know, God's here to punish me. A lot of people have that picture of God, the cop in the sky that's just looking for you to mess up, to show up and be like, I told you, right? I want you to feel a little bit guiltier. I want you to carry a little more shame. If they feel God close, then he must be near. That's sort of the idea that we have. And if they don't, he's far away. But Psalms teaches us the opposite, that God's presence is a reality, not a feeling. We may feel lost, but God has never lost sight of you and of me. He knows exactly where we are. Every second that we can't see him, he's there. David says, even in the darkness, it's not dark to you. That there's not a way for us to get away from God, because God knows us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows what we're thinking. And even in the darkness, even the darkness is not dark to you. We need to hear that today, that even in the dark places, God is with us. Even when we don't feel him, feel the presence, when we don't feel great about maybe our relationship with God, he's there with us. He knows us, because love pays attention. And Solomon moves from God's knowledge to God's design, which I love. Talks about this idea of being knit together in the mother's womb, this idea that from the very moment of creation, we have identity, we have purpose. The world we live in, and I know because I lived in it, my children are experiencing a new version of it, but this idea that you create your own identity, that you sort of pick the things you want to be, that you can decide at any moment to change your identity. But Scripture tells us identity begins with being created by God, that there's something about us from the very moment, before we accomplish anything, before we are applauded by anyone, before we're criticized, before anything happens, good or bad in our life, God declares our life is valuable. When we find a painting that we love, we ask ourselves, who painted it, right? When we hear a song that we love, we think, oh, who is this, right? I got to find out who this is. But when we look at ourselves, we often ask this question, what am I worth? Instead of focusing on the creator, we kind of focus on this self-worth. And this is the world we live in. This is the category that's placed on all of us. Am I worthy of being around a certain group? Am I worthy of certain attention? Am I worthy of being able to influence people? And so this question sneaks in as we think about our value, as we think about the way we were created. And we ask the question, God, do you hear me? We're asking, am I worth God listening to? And Psalm 139 says, our value comes from the one who made us, the one who created us, who knows us. We were not an accident. We were intentionally known by God and created for a purpose. This is the power of our identity in God. Our value is not tied to what we produce, no matter how much the world may tell us. You got to do more and do better. You got to earn your way. Our value is within us from the very moment. And after spending 22 verses, David describes God knows him, all about him, all the things that he's done, that he hasn't done, all the ways that he's fallen apart. David doesn't run away. He moves closer. He says, search me, God. He says, look deeper. Look at me one more time, because faith isn't pretending. Faith is, it's not having all the answers. It's trusting God has enough power and courage, that God's truth is powerful enough for him to hold your questions. And that's what I love about the Alpha Course. Many of you have done this with us here. You've experienced it. Like I said, we're getting ready to launch the Alpha Course here in a few weeks. We want you to invite people to come be a part. We want you to come be a part of this experience. But I love it because questions are welcome. And I can't tell you how many times we've done the Alpha Course that someone has kind of stepped out of their comfort zone and they've asked a question thinking they're the only person on the planet who has a question about God. And other people in the room go, you know what? I have that exact same question. I've wondered that, but I've never asked it. I've wondered about this picture of God that I have. I've wondered about this experience that I had. I've wondered about this presence that I've felt. But when questions are welcome, when doubts are welcome, when curiosity is welcome, you don't have to fake certainty that you have all the answers. We realize that God isn't threatened by honest questions. that the Psalms is full of honest questions of God. Why weren't you there? I thought you would show up. I believed you would do this. Why does it seem like everything is going against you and people who are against God are thriving and surviving and doing well in this world? Where are you, God? You don't have to fake certainty. That's not what it's about. God isn't threatened by honest questions. God already knows the questions we struggle with. And he invites us each and every day, moment by moment, into that conversation to ask the questions. And so we ask the question today, does God hear me? Does God hear my requests? Does he hear my thoughts? Does he hear my prayers? Does he hear my struggles? Does he hear the things that I carry that maybe bring shame and guilt? And Psalm 139 answers with a resounding yes, that God hears you because he knows you completely. That God hears you because he is with you constantly. That God hears you because he created you intentionally. He hears you because he invites you to speak honestly with him, to ask the tough questions, to wrestle with the things that honestly the great people of our faith, the great theologians and those that have crafted a lot of the things that we do in our church today and our heritage as Christians started by asking really hard questions. God, where were you? God, why didn't you? God, why did this happen? And so today, the invitation is really simple for us. Simple, but yet difficult to do. To bring our questions. God asks us to bring our doubts, to bring our fears, to bring our hopes. Because the God who listens is already closer than you think. This is the power of the Psalms. This is the power of the picture that David puts forward. Where he asks difficult questions. God, where are you? God, where have you been? Why is it that evil seems to survive and thrive in this world, and yet you have overcome all things?